In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. The Gospel of today asks a question that many of us have asked and perhaps still ask. The disciples came to the Lord and asked him, Lord, how should we pray? Teach us to pray. Sometimes we say the same thing. How should one pray? And oftentimes the answer that we come up with is perhaps one that we've heard and media, or one that we've heard in the environment that's around us. But the Lord here, when he said to them, how should we pray, when they asked him, he answered and said, when you pray, say. Right? And then what did he give him? They give them the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. Did the Lord say to them, okay, when it's time for you to pray, just say whatever's in your heart, or just say how you feel? Did he tell them this? Or did he give them a prescribed manner of prayer? He did. He gave them a prescribed manner of prayer. That's why today I'd like to speak about the need for formal prayer. And when I say formal prayer, I'm meaning the Igbaya, right? The book of prayer, a structure to our prayer, right? What are some of the things that we hear nowadays, you know, from those who are opposing to this structure of prayer? They say, well, how can you pray mindlessly? Okay, you're just kind of reading something. Your mind's not in it, right? This is not real prayer. Some might say, how can you really have a real relationship with God unless you express yourself freely to Him? Just say what's on your mind. Say what's on your heart. Or some will say, for prayer to be meaningful, it must be some kind of casual conversation with God in which I'm talking with Him. Taban, you hear many people, Yani, on the reply to that, they'll say, well, I feel sometimes that I'm praying, but I'm just talking to the air. Perhaps because the way we're praying is not the way that the Lord wanted us to pray. Right? The Lord said today, when you pray, say. There's a prescribed manner. So I'll speak today about this need for praying in formal prayer, or the need for the Igbaya. On the spontaneity, when I say, you know, spontaneity, I'm meaning here praying whatever comes to my heart, whatever comes to my mind. On the issue of spontaneity, C.S. Lewis, for those who have read the Screwtape Letters, it's a beautiful book. In the book, he kind of describes the demon, you know, who is Screwtape, and he has his nephew, his name is Wormwood. Right, so he's writing letters, the demon, the head demon, Screwtape, is writing to his nephew Wormwood how to make the Christians fall. Right, so I'm going to read an excerpt from this, and I want you to pay close attention. And when he says here, the enemy, who is the enemy of Satan? God. Okay, so when you hear here enemy, think God. Okay, because now the demon is speaking to another demon. He says, when the patient is an adult recently reconverted to the enemy's party. So when the patient's reconverted to the enemy's party, meaning one of the Christians are beginning what? To pray to God. Like your man. So Wormwood is having trouble with a man, right, who's praying. He says, when a patient is an adult recently reconverted to the enemy's party, like your man, this is best done by encouraging him to remember, or to think he remembers, the parrot-like nature of prayer in childhood. In reaction against that, he may be persuaded to aim at something entirely spontaneous, inward, informal, and unrecognized, in which real concentration of will and intelligence have no part. That is exactly the sort of prayer we want. The demons. Exactly the prayer that the demons want. And since it bears a superficial resemblance to prayer of silence, as practiced by those who are very advanced in the enemy's service, clever and lazy patients can be taken by it for quite some time. So what is he saying here? He says the only kind of real or reliable prayer that defeats the demon is either the prayer of silence, which are for those Yani monastics and those who are very trained and advanced in the life of prayer, where there's a silent prayer, right? Where the depth of man is speaking to the depth of heart directly. This is maybe none of us are there yet. Maybe some, but most of us know, myself included. So what's the other, yani the other option? He says, or the prayer that is formal, planned, regular, and focused away from the inward feelings. Right? Because here he says to the, about the demon that the demon should persuade us to pray spontaneous, inward, informal, and unregularized. In a way that's not regular. Right? Just pray whatever's in your heart whenever it comes to your heart. If nothing's in your heart, don't pray. We hear this all the time. And those who come to us, as Abuna say, Abuna, I don't pray with the Igbeya. This is what they say. I don't feel it. Okay, but is the idea of me, is it centered about my feeling? Or is it offered to God as a form of worship and prayer? Offering this kind of prayer, this formal prayer, using the Igbeya, has proven through the life of the church to bring about some things in those who use it. Number one, it brings deep repentance. When I use the Igbeya, it's shown in the lives of the saints to bring deep repentance. It's shown to produce humility, where I'm offering to God prayer and I understand who He is, and I feel my humility in the words that I'm praying in the Igbeya. Number three is profound gratitude. We give thanks to Him. Actually, every prayer that we pray and every hour that we pray in the Igbeya, we offer the thanksgiving prayer. So profound gratitude. And lastly, an intimate sense of union with God. We feel the presence of God when we're praying with the Igbeya. So all of this is like, it's a sacramental act. So you know in the sacraments, there's something we do, and there's a grace that we receive from God. All of us are here today to receive the Eucharist, the sacrament, right? But in order to receive the sacrament, there's something that you guys have to do, myself included. Fasting, because we're fasting. We come early and we attend the prayers. We participate in the prayers. And then we come and commune with Him. So it's a sacrament, right? There's an act that we're doing in participating and worshiping the Lord. So when we pray with the Igbeya, it's like a sacrament, an act of obedience and selfless interaction with God. We're coming and out of obedience, we're attending all of the prayers. Perhaps many of us, myself included, we say, Abuna, during the liturgy, دماغ بيسرح, right? I'm not focused. But then when we focus, we come back and we find the structure. But imagine if Abuna every time would come say something random. When you got distracted, you'll come back to what? Distraction, bardo, because Abuna's distracted. He's saying something new every day. When I come back and there's a form that's set there, I have something to be realigned with. It's not just something, shooting, the stars. Spontaneous prayer can never fulfill the true purpose of prayer. Of course, we ask, then what's the purpose of prayer? Prayer is, again, the sacramental act in when we meet God face to face. We talk with Him, right? We commune with Him. And it serves as an instrument for our own transformation. The one who doesn't pray in his room will never be transformed. Won't be transformed. Because this is where I meet God. And what are we trying to transform into? To the image of Christ. So if I never meet Christ in prayer, I will never be truly transformed. But spontaneous prayer, that just I pray whatever comes to my mind and to my heart, this actually thwarts the whole process of regeneration, of renewing myself. And it gets rid of it. So at the end of the day, I'm stuck in myself. I'm stuck in my words. I'm stuck in my thoughts. I'm stuck in my ideas. I'm not praying in the manner that's God-focused. I'm praying in a manner that's me-focused. So I'll mention three things. What are the inadequacies of this spontaneous prayer? How is it inadequate just to pray whatever comes to my heart? أقول أي حاجة في قلبي. أكلم كده ربنا اللهوي كده. Whatever. Right? How is this inadequate? Number one, it's noisy. What do I mean by it's noisy? If we want to say, we can all perhaps agree that in order for us to transform, we must be able to hear God in our life. Shkida? In order for me to change into the image of Christ, I have to hear Him in my life. He has to speak to my heart. Okay? So hearing God is necessary for this transformation to happen in my life. Do you remember Elijah when he was searching for God and waiting for him to speak to him? The thunder and the earthquake, was God there? No. Where was God? It says in the still, small voice, in quietness. So how about it? If I'm praying whatever comes to my heart, this spontaneous prayer, and I'm praying whatever comes to my heart, what actually happens in prayer is that I'm busy thinking about what to say and how to articulate it, right? I'm spending so much time thinking about what to say and how to say it. And is it fitting for God or is it not fitting for God? It will be acceptable by Him, but will not be acceptable by Him. For this creates some noise in our hearts and which I'm focused on the words and not on Him. That's why in the Psalms it says, be still and what? And know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. So it requires me to construct my own prayer. So it's kind of noisy. This is number one. Number two is the second inadequacy is the friend mentality. What do I mean by the friend mentality? If you ask most people, you know, how do you picture God? You say, he's my friend. And I talk to him kinda like my friend. But so what is the problem with this talking to God as my friend? Is he our friend? Yes, he said he's our friend, right? He told us that. He told us we are his friends. Okay, this is one way. But is this the only way God wants to communicate with us as friends? What if one day God says, I want to communicate to you as the Creator? And when I commune with you as the Creator, in us, it will leave us prostrate. We look at the one who created the whole universe and his power and might, and this will lead us to bend the knee. Maybe one day God wants to say, I want to commune with you as the life giver, the one who gives you life. This would lead us to perhaps sob with thanksgiving and gratitude that he gives and sustains our life. He gives us the ability, yani, to think and reason in a healthy way according to his will. Perhaps one day he wants to commune with you as the judge. If I always think with him as a friend, how will I think of him as a judge? And as a judge, when I stand before him in prayer, my heart will be broken in repentance. What if God judged me for what I did today? But if I always think of him as a friend, I will never think of God judging me. Relax, all of us, when we have friends and talk with our friends, we always say, don't judge me, don't judge me. God forbid we say the same thing about God if we always think of him as a friend. Perhaps maybe he wants us to look at him and commune with him as the Almighty King, somebody who's powerful, whose simple gaze can even consume us. Again, will make us bend the knee and ask for mercy. But the best I can achieve when I think of him as a friend is just one-sided. I only think of God how I want to think of him. And do you see how the prayer is one-sided? Do you see how the prayer is self-centered? It's still all about me. There was a Protestant pastor who converted to be Orthodox. And he says that people, when he was in the Protestant church, they came to him. And they said, Pastor, why is it that my prayer never seems to get any higher than the ceiling? They're complaining. How is it, Yani, I feel like there's a ceiling on my prayer? Because the ceiling is the self. When my prayer is self-focused, there has to be a ceiling. It's what I imagine of God. But when I'm praying in a manner that's outside of myself, then there's no ceiling, there's no limit. The third and last way the spontaneous prayer is not really, yani, is inadequate, is the self-centered prayer, which I alluded to. At the end of the day, spontaneous prayer ends up being an expression of oneself rather than being God-focused. In my prayers, if it's all about what I feel, I'm expressing how I feel. I'm expressing my desires. I'm expressing my views. I'm expressing my feelings and wants. Everything's about me. If it's just I'm praying whatever comes to my mind. But what is in the heart of man anyways? If you go back to Jeremiah, he tells us what's in the heart of man. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things. This is the heart of man. It's deceitful. However, but St. Paul says what else is in the heart of man? He says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit, here he's speaking about the Holy Spirit, of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. For what else is in our heart? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. So then we have to ask ourselves, are the words that I'm saying and expressing Spirit-filled sentiments or words, or are they ones that are self-centered, ungodly ones? Is it just what I feel and what I want? Or is it God-centered? And again, if you look at the prescription that Christ set for us today, our Father who art in heaven, when you look at this whole prayer, does this have anything to do with the self? No. Even when we say, give us this day our daily bread, he's not referring to here the food that we eat to fill our bellies. He's speaking here about, give us this day the omosios, the heavenly bread, daily. Give us the heavenly bread is what? It's the Eucharist. Again, something heavenly. It's not speaking about things here that are earthly. Also, for prayer to reveal our own sinfulness, if we want God in prayer to reveal my own sinfulness to me, somehow it has to be a way in which God can speak to me. Right? If it's just spontaneous, whatever comes from my heart, then how will God speak with me? Some will say, okay, after I say whatever's in my heart, I'll just sit there quietly and wait for God to speak. But you know what ends up happening? I start thinking about the errands I need to run, the thing I couldn't fix, the command or the thing that my wife or my husband asked me to do. I think about all different things that I need to do. So this moment of silence has to become this moment of me planning or losing any focus and attention. But when my prayer allows me to see myself through God's eyes, then the hidden passions will be revealed, illuminated, and can be dealt with. So what about praying in a sacramental way, praying with the Agbeya? What is it and what's the blessing and what do we gain from praying with the Agbeya? And the Church, by the way, understands prayer. It's like a sacrament. It's an act of worship in which we stand before God, as I said. And as St. Paul says, with an unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, thereby being transformed to his image. In 2 Corinthians 3:18. But it all begins with the Agbeya. That's why if you go and ask the monastics, from the day you enter the monastery, what do? They pray the Agbeya. It's the tool, right? It's the weapon. It's the key. Why the Agbeya? Number one is the Agbeya is sharing in the life of Christ daily. In the first hour, we commemorate the resurrection. Third hour, we commemorate what? The descent of the Spirit, right? Upon the Church. Sixth hour, crucifixion. Ninth hour, the death on the cross. And the acceptance of the right thief, right? So in this kitta you hear that, in that litany you hear that. 11th hour, what do we commemorate? The taking down of the body of the Lord from the cross. 12th hour is the burial, right? And then the midnight hours actually commemorates the three times the Lord prayed in Gethsemane. The three times the Lord prayed in Gethsemane. And each of those reading, because it's in the middle of the night, what are they centered around? The second coming. Preparing for the second coming. So we see when we pray the Agbeya, we're living the life of Christ with him every day. And the last part is the second coming. So this is all, we're living the life of Christ, preparing for the day we will meet the Lord. And if you do this about every day, we live in the life with Christ. So we share in his life. And of course, we know that each of the hours is comprised with psalms, gospel, litanies, and so on. We all know what the composition of the Agbeya, the Book of Prayers, is. And there are some prayers that were coined by holy and righteous men that the Church deemed as being exceptionally holy, right? Whether it be Saint Basil, Saint John Chrysostom, or the monastic fathers who remain unnamed, whatever they are, this is where the litanies, you know, came from. And these prayers have proven effective. If you want to look at maybe one of the modern saints like Baba Kurullus, who was a man of prayer, no one denies that, a man of great and mighty wonders, who reformed the church in such a dark era, what was his tool? Zigbeya. It was these formal prayers. So we see it was effective, right? We see that it was effective. These prayers actually do all the things that the spontaneous prayers do not. These prayers quiet the mind, because I'm not focused on what to say. It's there for me. It allows me to see myself through God's eyes, because it's comprised of parts from the Bible that are inspired by the Holy Spirit, that are meant to pierce us and pierce our heart. And number three, it allows us to have a true dialogue. So is there any room for this spontaneous prayer? Absolutely. And the church tells us and teaches us that when we're praying with the formal and structural prayer, whether it be in the liturgy or the igbeya, there are moments where we have for us to infuse the spontaneous prayer. For example, in the liturgy, there's a basic structure. There's the reconciliation, there's the anaphora, there's the epiclesis, and then there are litanies. So when the church says, okay, now we're praying the litany of the sick, and if I think of somebody who's sick and needs prayer, I infuse the prayer here, and then come back to the structure, right? So that way I'm not just lost, and then I don't know, end up not knowing what to say. This is number one. It's sharing in the life of Christ daily. Number two, the benefit of the igbeya is that it renews the mind. St. Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Prayers that fill my mind with the sounds of my voice don't renew my mind. Right? It's just I'm talking to myself. But when I fill it with God's inspired words, then it renews my mind. And sometimes we'll say, you know, when we're talking about this prayer, kidda in silence, we'll say, you know, even when I'm praying the igbeya, I feel like that I'm distracted. Yes, I'm distracted. But what happens when I'm praying my own personal prayer and I get distracted? I stay distracted. Or I just finish. I say, khalas, okay, I don't have anything else to say. Glory be to God forever, amen. And the prayer ends up being in just a few moments. But when I'm praying with the igbeya and I get distracted, I can what? I can come back. I have something to come back to, right? And this is where the renewing of the mind happens. I'm coming outside of myself. It doesn't end at wherever I'm done. It ends, you know, when I finish the structure, or I do the structure. Tab on this structure, you do with your father of confession, and how much of the igbeya we should pray. The last and final thing, the blessing of the igbeya, is that it teaches us to pray. It teaches us how to pray. Those who pray the igbeya consistently will find that their own personal prayers, their spontaneous prayers, will mimic the prayers of the igbeya, or the prayers that we pray in the igbeya. Sometimes we pray for things that perhaps will be unacceptable, you know, to God. We might pray for wealth, we might pray for prosperity, we might pray for different things that are worldly. But what if God doesn't want that for you? Right? So sometimes, kids, we pray in a way that's unacceptable, yani, to God. St. James says what? He says this. He says, you ask and do not receive. Why is it that we ask and do not receive? He says, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. You ask amiss. You don't receive because you ask amiss. So sometimes we pray for things that are amiss, but we don't receive it. So these prayers really, they're not being answered by God, and they're not acceptable. But when we pray with igbeya, this teaches us how to what? Seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and then He'll give us everything else. It teaches us how to pray, what to ask for when we pray. That's why it's so vital and important that all of us, we have this treasure in our church in the igbeya, and unfortunately, many of us, we don't take advantage of it. We want to go by whatever the community and the surrounding areas and other different religious sects are saying and say, just pray whatever comes to your heart. But this is severely inadequate. If we really want to be in union with Christ, we have to come outside of ourselves. على فكرة, coming out of ourself is the heart of the matter. When we talk about fasting, we're fasting now. What is it? It's coming out of myself, doing that which I do, doing that which I don't desire. I desire to eat whatever I want, but now doing fasting, I'm not going to eat what I want. I see the hamburger, whatever, and the cheese and whatever, and I tell myself, no, coming out of myself. Same goes in prayer. When we pray the Igbaya, we're coming out of ourselves. So we said the spontaneous prayer is inadequate, and it's noisy. It requires for me to construct my own prayer. Number two, it has this friendly mentality where I only think of God in one way, although God might want to talk to me and commune with me in many different ways. And number three, that it's a self-centered prayer. It's all about me. And the Igbaya remedies that, and that we share in the life of Christ daily. One, number two is that renews our mind, and number three, it teaches us how to pray. I pray, Kidda, that all of us, if we don't pray with the Igbaya, today we'll begin praying with the Igbaya and use it. Yes, it might be hard. Yes, you might be boring, but do it anyway. Come out of yourself and come back to what has made many saints in our church. May God make us all saints. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.